Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
It's Football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Last year at this time, the quarterback for the Denver Broncos was Trevor Siemian. It felt a little weird. We're not going to lie. It was, as we predicted, that Trevor Siemian coming off a 9-7 season was inevitably going to beat out Paxton Lynch. And with the news today that Paxton Lynch is working out for Detroit, I mean, I know it's not a story anymore, Coach. We get that, but still, I mean, it's pretty crazy when you really think about it that Paxton Lynch is just not here anymore after all of that. And then we were getting Brock Osweiler. What a mess. I mean, let's be honest. What a mess. Paxton Lynch gets hurt. They bring in Brock Osweiler, Trevor Siemian starting. I mean, we were polishing it, Al, as best we could. But the Broncos do win in week one as a kicker soon to be cut failed miserably for the Chargers, and the Broncos started off 2-0. And then things just, you know, dilly-dilly.
Dilly-dilly.
Dilly-dilly. A ridiculously early bye week led us all to think, hey, this is going to be smooth sailing. And it certainly wasn't. The Broncos crater, like, in an epic fashion, and then just a sea of change. So let's go over some of those changes. The first is quarterback. What is the change like from what it was to what it is now?
Well, last year, well, let me get my peppermint out of my mouth. Excuse me.
Okay.
At least you didn't say Werther's.
Yeah, what?
I said at least it wasn't a Werther's candy.
Okay, last year, looking at the Denver Broncos, the one issue that we both had was, why are you starting Trevor Siemian? The reason that you shouldn't start Trevor Siemian in year two, it's because you'll never know what you have in the backup quarterback that was your first-round draft pick, Paxton Lynch. Since you did that last year with the new coach, then all we saw was a competition Thursday, basically every day of training camp. And it was ugly. And we didn't know who our starter was until week three of the preseason, which means that they were splitting snaps. Splitting snaps. First team snaps for Paxton Lynch, first team snaps for Trevor Siemian. And this year, we don't have those issues anymore. We didn't have a quarterback battle going into training camp. It's always nicer to know who your quarterback is going to be and to have him in place so that he can get the first team reps. Case Keenum took all the first team reps this year, which means a lot. It means that the continuity with the first team offense is there, and it's been there all year. And it's not going anyplace. So I feel more confident that if for nothing else, Case Keenum has repped out with the first team a lot more going into the start of this season. And I think that the consistency and without, you know, looking over his shoulder about who's going to be there to, you know, challenge him if things don't go well, plays a huge difference in whether or not a quarterback feel comfortable under duress.
The other big change has to be viewed as coaching. I mean, it was crazy. First of all, I'll count Mike McCoy because now Bill Musgrave gets to take over from the start. But you said goodbye to Eric Studisville, who was one time a head coach for the Denver Broncos on an interim basis. You say goodbye to Tyke Tolbert, who was here for years and years. You say goodbye to Brock Olivo, your special teams coach. You keep Joe Woods. And maybe more importantly than anything, you say hello to Gary Kubiak in a much more significant role. What about the changes in coaching, and what about the addition of Gary Kubiak back in the mix on a day-to-day basis?
The coaching, first of all, always starts with the head coach. The head coach this year feels like he's more comfortable, more than anything else, that he's comfortable in his abilities to run the team, operate the offense, defense, and special teams with the authority that head coaches need to exhibit. And when I start there, well, you know, there was a disconnect on the offensive side of the football last year. And we had some disgruntled players last year on the defensive side of the ball. It made for a very touchy locker room when you consider that, you know, two stars that were part of the no-fly zone, Chris Harris Jr. and Aqib Talib, were upset that T.J. Ward wasn't there. And we haven't heard from Darian Stewart, who's part of that no-fly zone, but it was a bad situation last year because of how the transactions all happened. And then the loss of Mike McCoy during the season last year should have happened a lot sooner. The fact that it happened as late as it did was puzzling to me because clearly that is not the mindset of a Vance Joseph coach team, is to come out and throw the ball 50 times every game. And I don't know if he had authority to fire him early, but I know that it got done late, so that's all that matters. Coming into it on the offensive side of the ball this year, when you look at what we're looking at with Bill Musgrave, what you're seeing is a team that's more dedicated to the run, a different kind of runner, young runners who possess the ability to make guys miss and score with the football. We have a third down back now that's legitimate in Philip Lindsay. Yes, I said Philip Lindsay as our third down running back. That is a clear matchup with everybody that he plays against. I saw Darren Sproles last night play, and the thing that's clear about Darren Sproles is that he's still a nightmare matchup for linebackers and safety. I think Philip Lindsay will be that for us. So I think an offensive philosophy that matches the head coach's understanding about where we're going with the team is necessary. It happened. And on the defensive side, I do believe that Vance Joseph will be more active. That's his side of the football. That's his expertise. That's where he cut his teeth in the NFL. So look for him to be more aggressive and get in there and help out on the defensive side of the ball and be more of a defensive play caller than maybe years in the past. It's important that he has the ability to do all the things that he wants to do. And with that, I say that Brock Olivo's gone, okay, and we have a new special team coach who is solid, who believes in securing the football and making the right plays. It's a different coaching staff. It's a different philosophy. And we have a new offensive coordinator, a new special teams coach. And I'm going to go as far as to say a new defensive coordinator, because I know Vance Joseph will be more intimately involved with the defense.
And as Tim Tebow so eloquently said, coaching man! When we come back, the real MVP of the offseason, Gary Kubiak, and what that has made in terms of a difference with the Broncos. The fire up at 5 o'clock. Woo-hoo. Here we go. It's a Football Friday right here on The Fan.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage, special circumstance lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, game day's favorite light lager. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
Must be some kind of way out of here.
Said the Joker to the thief.
Said the Joker to the thief.
Mm.
There's too much confusion.
Hey, man, I appreciate
it. Any relief.
I appreciate all you guys out there, man. Rolling and rocking in your team gear today. Whether it's for the University of Colorado, CSU, Air Force, or our Denver Broncos, man. I'm feeling you, man. I'm feeling you. I love the look. And up. Because of that, we're going to let this breeze in. Let it go.
Who did this song originally?
No reason.
Come on now. Come on now.
Originally?
Who wrote the song?
Oh, man, I thought it was just Jimmy.
No. He made it great, but he wasn't the first guy.
Who was it?
Really?
Do you know Big Sexy?
I think it's Bob Dylan.
It is Bob Dylan.
Oh, you just...
Great
Bob
Dylan.
Did you know that? Oh, okay.
Robert Zimmerman.
Way to go, man.
Yeah, baby. All right, it's The Drive. Nice to be here. The man behind the scenes, the great Oz of the Denver Broncos, appears to be Gary Kubiak. Al, when we think of everything that's changed, I think something that's changed is what's old is new again. And that is Gary Kubiak coming here on a everyday full-time basis. And Bill Musgrave even said yesterday that Gary's been very involved with the offense and what they have going. What do you think and what kind of impact do you think Gary Kubiak has had in this new role?
I think that, you know, when you are a real pro and you've been focused on one side of the ball, you need somebody after this last experience with Mike McCoy, you need somebody over there that you can really trust. And the one thing that you know about Gary Kubiak and Vance Joseph is that Vance worked for Gary Kubiak. Gary Kubiak gave him a job. You know, so to have Gary Kubiak around for a guy like Vance Joseph is just comforting, because that side of the ball, there's no, you know, different language that is being talked about or being discussed. Gary Kubiak wasn't here last year. He was gone away from football around the Denver Broncos. He left the slate clean, and he took a break. And I think it was good that he took a break, because we all care about and love Gary. All of the whole Denver Bronco community does. So for him to be away from it for a year, we lost our way when it comes to playing winning football here in Denver. And people would think that because the great Peyton Manning threw for 5,500 yards and 55 touchdowns, that throwing the football is a way to win here in Denver. And we all know that the great John Elway has had some great years, but can't win a championship. You cannot win a championship without running the football and playing great defense. Do you need a quarterback who can win for you on third down and in the red zone? Absolutely. 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 More than anything in this league, you need a quarterback that can win for you on third down and in the red zone. And once you have that, you got to match that up with a team that is conditioned well, that can run the football and won't lose their discipline when things don't go well for you. You know, one of the teams that I remember that we struggled with all the time during our Super Bowl years with John is the San Diego Chargers. And the San Diego Chargers had a great defense. I mean, if you talk to Terrell Davis still today, he'll tell you about playing against the San Diego Chargers. But guess what? Hey, man, he may have 30 rushes against the San Diego Chargers. The whole backfield may have 30 rushes for 55 yards. But you have to run the football. You have to shorten the game. You have to trust that your defense is going to win some of those games for you. And when they do, don't give the opposition the chance to just slither away by turning the football over. Stay focused. Stay steady with your running game. Play action will end up benefiting you, and it did last night for the Philadelphia Eagles, because the run game eventually will work. You got to stick with it. Gary Kubiak is a stick-with-it guy.
Here's a Musgrave about Kubiak.
Very involved, even to this day. Was able to spend a considerable amount of time with him this morning, so you know, he's forgotten more football than all of us will ever know, so it's just great to have him as a resource. So I'm always hitting him up when he has a moment amongst his personnel duties.
What exactly are Gary Kubiak's duties? What exactly is he doing there?
He's helping,
man. It's a bit of a mystery,
isn't
it?
He's helping. That's all you need to know.
So you think every day looks a little bit different?
No, I think every day looks the same.
Okay, what do you think that looks like?
What, you know?
You think he's game planning?
If Gary Kubiak is part of your offensive coaching staff or your staff in general, and he's not helping with game planning, then you've done something wrong.
So what does that look like then?
Well, first of all, you'll have Bill Musgrave that says we're playing against Ken Norton Jr. this weekend. And remember now, it's always important to note that when we're talking about teams playing against each other, we're talking about coordinators playing against coordinators. So what are the things that have worked against Ken Norton Jr.'s defense and
And, what's Kubiak doing, though, specifically?
Hold on. And Pete Carroll's defense. So you have two guys looking at two guys and seeing plays and production of plays that have worked against these guys for many years.
Is he just throwing in his two cents, or is he actually drawing up the plays? Is
he's going through it?
Is he signing off on it?
No, D-Mac, it's like...
You say he's doing the same thing every day, or what? I don't think so. I think,
you know what?
So when it comes to game planning, what exactly is he doing?
Let's just say first and 10 calls. Okay, we'll do it like this.
He's writing the plays?
No, hold on. Let's say first and 10 calls. These are the seven plays I like on first and 10.
So Musgrave is checking with him?
I think that they're working together. Hmm. I don't think it's one or the other.
But he's on personnel. Bill Musgrave just said personnel. So what's he doing there?
Along with his personnel. He said along with his personnel obligations. So you may have seven plays that you like on first down, and Bill may have, you know, nine plays. And, you know, they say, well, you know, in the red zone, let's use these. And then, okay, let's pare it down so it makes sense. And you know what, man?
Do you think Kubiak's coming in with a game plan?
I think both of them are coming in with game plans.
That sounds confusing.
No, it's not, because there's only one game caller. Who's that? It's Bill Musgrave.
Okay.
Bill Musgrave is calling the game.
But you think Gary Kubiak's walking in with a game plan?
I think that Gary's walking in a game planning, and I'm also thinking that Bill Musgrave is absolutely walking in with the game plan.
Because we know Rick Dennison wasn't walking in with a game plan, and he was the offensive coordinator. We know he wasn't walking in with a game plan.
But you're talking about a guy whose last job as an offensive coordinator with Bill Musgrave, he produced a team that was a playoff team, and because of his coordination, Derek Carr got one of the richest contracts in the entire NFL.
I think Gary's the adult in the room.
I don't think so. Not with this group.
I do.
I don't think so.
I think he's a buffer. He's a buffer between John Elway and Matt Russell. I think he's an adult in the room with personnel.
I think
he's the adult in the room consulting Vance Joseph, and I think he's the quality control coach with the assistant coaches. I think he's the adult in the room.
You may think of Gary Kubiak the same way you would think if Mike Shanahan was there. If Mike Shanahan
was
there,
he would be the adult in the room.
Well, if you're talking about senior member of the staff, then go ahead and call him the adult in the room.
That's what I'm calling him.
But if you're thinking that Gary, this is going to be Bill Musgrave's offense.
He's the adult in the room as far as I'm concerned with everything.
I don't even understand what that means.
It means somebody has to be the adult in the room. The team got to 5-11. You had multiple assistants who were fired. You had a miserable draft. You needed an adult in the room.
You think this was Gary Kubiak's draft?
I think he had a significant impact on it. I think he was the adult in the room.
If it was Gary Kubiak's draft, who would have been our top five pick?
Quentin Nelson.
It was not Gary Kubiak's draft.
On that one, it went to auto draft. No doubt about it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But that didn't take any thinking. That happens, they just sort of defaulted.
I'm just letting you know that Gary Kubiak is a valued member of this team. He's been part of
four Super Bowl winning teams. If you're the adult in the room, you're the most valued guy.
Hold on.
You're the most valued guy.
Has anybody else on that staff won four Super Bowls, have been part of four Super Bowls?
No. Well, John Elway.
In the room as part of that's helping with the coaching. Anybody else
besides John Elway?
No, besides John Elway is not helping with the coaching. He is.
Oh, really?
No, he's not.
Yeah, I bet that's not true either.
I bet you that is.
I think there's a lot of helping going on with the coaching.
Listen, man,
there's a lot of babysitting going on here.
Babysitting?
Oh yeah.
Why'd you come up with this today? I mean, you just popped this on me on Friday before the first game of the year that Vance Joseph is not in control.
I think his control's interesting. But I think the addition and significance of Gary Kubiak should not be understated.
Listen. If somebody is running a different offense over than the one that we said that we were going to run, and I'm over here helping out with the defense, I need some eyes. I need somebody that I know, somebody that I trust.
Gary Kubiak's influence is significant.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Right.
Which means that Royce Freeman is going to run for 12 or 1,300 yards this year.
Okay, great. That'd be about 78 yards a game.
And look for the quarterback to throw the ball for like 3,500 yards. That's about it.
Great. That's like Christian Ponder numbers.
Our tight end is going to be bigger in this year's offense than ever in the years past.
Yeah.
And look for, you know, we'll have a a dominant wide receiver, look for that guy to be Emmanuel Sanders, and look for Demaryius Thomas to be a secondary player this year. Cortland Sutton is our home run hitter.
Next to the acquisition of Case Keenum as quarterback, I think Gary Kubiak is the next most important significant change of the year.
I think that he's more important than having Case Keenum here. That's how I feel.
All right, when we
I'm on the same page with you, but to say that, you know,
quarterback's always the most important thing.
No. Always. Knowing what a quarterback looks like is the most important thing.
The quarterback is the most
important
thing.
Knowing what a quarterback looks like is the most important thing.
No.
Oh, yes.
No.
Oh, yes.
John Elway changed things more than Mike Shanahan. Peyton Manning changed things more than John Elway.
Yeah.
Case Keenum changes things more than Gary Kubiak.
Who was important to those guys getting to those organizations?
It doesn't matter.
It always matters about how you feel the team.
Bill Belichick or Tom Brady?
The fact that Bill Belichick knew it was going to be Tom Brady, it's Bill Belichick because you know what?
Tom Brady would have been
stuck on the bench if it would have been a dumbass coach who just plays their first round pick.
All right, you heard it here first. Bill Belichick is more important than Tom Brady, according to Alfred. Well, if that's the case, then I'm going to lose this argument. I'd make the argument the player's more important than the coach
telling you the player on the field is always the most important. But the guy who picks that guy is even more important than the quarterback initially.
No, Al. Okay, right, we're arguing on silly things here. So
if we have a bad draft pick, how in the world can our offense work if we have a bad quarterback?
You can't.
Okay, so is it important to have somebody to pick the right quarterback?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I said Gary Kubiak was
here for. But the quarterback is more important. Yes, of course it's important who picks him, but the quarterback is what it's all about.
Knowing what the right quarterback
I know we're going late here, but do you honest to God think, I thought we were on a good conversation here, but do you really think Gary Kubiak is more important for the Broncos this year than Case Keenum?
Gary Kubiak was the most important person when helping to decide what quarterback will be part of this organization going forward.
So you can't answer my question.
I'm just telling you, you need to have somebody to pick the player. You can't just say any player. You got to have somebody pick that player.
Okay. When we come back, let's pick some games. The Chiefs and Chargers, Bears and Packers. King Super's fan football pick 'em. We'll get there next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
You can win $250 from King Super's. If you are the best in the fan football pick 'em, you missed last night, it's okay. Plenty of time. Go to 1043thefan.com. Chiefs, Chargers.
Left side of the formation. Now a quick getting draw. Kareem Hunt at the 40-yard line. Angling left 30. He's at the 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Hand off to Eckler. Burst through the A-gap to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Chargers. Austin Eckler. Oh, play that guitar.
Knock on wood. What do you think?
Well, I think that Phillip Rivers is looking to capture that elusive Super Bowl and playing against a guy who's starting for the first time at home. I think this is one of the rare advantages that the Chargers will have going in playing the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City is I don't think the rookie will travel well. The Chargers at home. Give the win to the Chargers. I think they're going to blow out the Kansas City Chiefs. Look for a score of 31-20.
Bears, Packers.
First in goal, 4-yard line of Cincinnati. As he snaps Trubisky, going to keep it on the redeck, into the end zone for the touchdown. Touchdown, Bears, and Mitchell Trubisky in from the 4. And the Bears increase their lead to 18-7.
Two receivers to the left, one to the right. And Glennon fakes the handoff, back to throw. Looking downfield, he's hit. Yes. He's sacked by Clay Matthews. Ball pops loose, and it's recovered by Jake Redden. Inside the 5. First and goal, Green Bay.
Who you like? Aaron Rodgers is back.
Aaron Rodgers is back, and the Chicago Bears. Have Khalil Mack. I'm taking the Pack all day long. Chicago Bears at the Green Bay Packers does not sound good at any point during any season with or without Khalil Mack. I think the ball comes out quickly, and when they need to throw the football, they'll double-team Khalil Mack at the point of attack to make sure that he does not have a real impact on the game. It's going to end up being the guys on the back end that's going to have to hold up And Davante Adams is one of the most prolific receivers when it comes to catching touchdowns. He's caught 3 years worth of touchdowns for 10 touchdowns a year. And I'll tell you what, that means that Davante Adams is going to be playing a big part on that in that offense for the Green Bay Packers. After Jordy Nelson left, Green Bay Packers all over the Chicago Bears. I'm going to call it 34-23.
Steelers-Browns.
Roethlisberger in the gun. Second and one at the 10. Pass for the far corner of the end zone.
Touchdown.
Touchdown, Antonio Brown. What a circus catch that was as he got around the defender. I think he faked him out completely.
Oh, Billy, you know what? He spun around, and that was a heck of a play. I mean,
one hand
next to the helmet. Wow, that was some kind of play.
Second down and 10 from their own 28-yard line. Duke Johnson in the backfield with Kaiser. One receiver left, three to the right. Kaiser back, looking left, throws down the middle. It's caught, and Joku's got it. Touchdown! And the Browns have tied it at 6.
Who you like?
Oh, man.
Do the Browns go 0-17?
I think the Browns go a season's worth of losses plus one. They're playing in Cleveland.
The Steelers survive without Le'Veon Bell?
Yeah, James Conner is going to have to step up. The guy averaged 4.5 yards a carry last year. Antonio Brown, look, man, 101 receptions last year for 1,533, 15.2 a reception. Juju Smith-Schuster, almost 1,000 yards. Big Ben's going to have to throw the ball. He's going to have to throw the ball a lot. I think that the Steelers are going to escape with the win. I'm saying 24-17.
Finally, Seattle here in Denver.
Second down and goal from the one. Lynch in the backfield. Russell look, throws inside. Oh my God, he's picked off at the goal line. It's picked off by God Dudley. Intended for Lockett at the goal line. Oh my word, with 20 seconds left.
And the audio level of the crowd here as he fires it in the air and he's picked off. He's picked off by Harris, Chris Harris Jr. And the Denver defense comes up with another big play here in the fourth.
Those are some fun highlights there, Big Sexy. Good job. All right, Al, you were down on the Broncos' chances early. What do you think today?
It's a home game. It's a home game to open the season.
What's changed since Tuesday?
Home game, opening the season. And weird things have happened to start the season. I'm looking for the Denver Broncos to edge out the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, it happened!
Oh, yeah.
It happened!
Well, D-Mac, after seeing that game last night, how can you not think that crazy things happened for the home team? And I'm going to say that it's going to be a tight game, and we'll find a way to win this game. Playing at home with Case Keenum for the first time and an excitable young rookie running back, Royce Freeman. I'm looking for him to have somewhere in the neighborhood of 75 yards rushing. And we take care of the Seattle Seahawks 2017.
All right, right on. Well, there you go. Play along with us at the King Supers Fan Football Pick'em at 1043thefan.com. When we come back, Troy Rank was inside the locker room earlier today. The latest from Dove Valley. And don't forget, the legendary Fire Up is back! At 5 o'clock right here on The Fan.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, game day's favorite light lager. Here's Big Alan T-Mac.
Troy Rank is our Denver 7 Broncos insider. Presented by the Trinity Law Offices. If you or someone you know been arrested for a DUI, contact the Trinity Law Offices at 303-333-1816 for some help, and they'll help you out. We go out to Troy. Troy, what was the first Football Friday like out there at Dove Valley? What was the difference between, say, this Friday and a year ago on a Friday?
You know, there's so much optimism this time of year. I don't want to say there's a lot of difference. I will say this. Tom McMahon is a complete juxtaposition from Brock Olivo. Tom McMahon's an old-school special teams coach who focuses on the details. And, you know, Olivo's a nice enough guy, but he was swimming. He was in over his head. So I would say the biggest difference, the takeaway I had, is their special teams are going to be dramatically better, and that starts with Tom McMahon.
This season is going to be different because of what?
Well, I mean, if you're the Broncos, you believe it's going to be because of Case Keenum, his ability to protect the football. I'm going to throw out a stat to you, Alfred, and you're not going to believe it. The Broncos have won 32 consecutive games dating to 2012 when they win the turnover battle. Last year, they turned the ball over to the quarterback's 22 interceptions. So if Case Keenum protects the ball, is right around a 3-to-1 touchdown interception ratio, the season will be different because their defense will be in play again. They will be in close games that they feel like they can win because they have a good field goal kicker. But that's the difference, is their confidence instilled. Hope has returned because they believe in their quarterback.
Just back to special teams real quick. Who is the punt returner?
Adam Jones is the punt returner.
Okay. Then why is Isaiah McKenzie on this team?
I think he's here for a week. You know, you could use him in a gadget play. You could use him if someone got hurt as a receiver. You know, obviously if something happened to Jones, rather than maybe throw Philip Lindsay back and punt and kick return, you'd have him. I think McKenzie could be in trouble because I think they're going to bring back Shamarco Thomas, the safety, after week one when they don't have to guarantee the salary. Mm-hmm. So it's basically just depth, that if something were to go haywire, you got a guy that has returned punts. So why is he on the team? Again, it's basically an insurance policy the way I interpret it. Because Adam Jones is going to be the guy. At least that's what's been told to us.
Do you have complete and total confidence in Bradley Roby playing the starting cornerback position opposite Chris Harris?
I believe in Roby because of his talent. I just need to see the consistency, Alfred. He's played some of his best games when he started for Tlaib over the last couple of years. At Miami last year, they got smoked. He was probably the best player on the field for the Broncos that day. Then the next week at Washington, he struggled. He was that's what I'm saying. He's battled inconsistency. That's something he and Chris Harris talked a lot about this offseason. He worked out with Chris Harris and trained both mentally and physically about being on the field more. What does that mean? So do I have confidence in him? I have confidence in his talent. Can that translate to a 16-game season? Everything's in front of him, Al. So if he plays well, he's going to get paid, whether it's here or somewhere else. So he couldn't have a greater motivation.
All right, Troy, what's your pick? Come on now. Got to come down on it.
Yeah, I was terrible at this last year, by the way. Remember when they lost 8 straight games? I think they're going to win because they're at home. I think it's going to be a little ugly, but somewhere around that, you know, 23-19 range, a missed field goal here or there. I just think they're going to find a way to win because it's at home, and they have to get off to a great start this season with 3 of their first 4 at home. Russell Wilson's going to do things that scare them, but in the end, I think they'll make the Seahawks one-dimensional. They're going to protect the ball, and they're going to win in a close game, fairly low-scoring game.
I was enjoying watching the adventures of Allison Mastrangelo, and I assume it's her photographer from Denver 7.
Josh.
Off to Lincoln, and they're having a fun time. It's a road trip, and, you know, I guess that's about right. You know, you got to get out there. Troy, Al, you are both at CU at the same time. We heard some great stories from Alfred, Troy, in terms of what it was like to play in Lincoln. What do you remember about covering the team back then and being a student at CU with the CU-Nebraska games?
Yeah, I covered a couple of those games at Lincoln. They won the game when Bieniemy fumbled 4 times. That was a remarkable win, 27-12, when Bieniemy's fallen off the rails, and then he recovers and finishes one of the more dramatic wins in program history. And it just how they quieted the crowd. And in the rain, the weather, it was crazy. And then the last game I covered in Lincoln, the Halloween Massacre, CU got crushed. And I remember people throwing oranges, and I got hit by an orange. It was a gnarly rivalry. I mean, because when I was in school, they went 2-1-1 against Nebraska. The tie was the 19-19 game in Boulder when it was roughly 50 degrees below zero. And they lost the game at Halloween in Nebraska, but they won 2 games in that series. That's the best 4-year run, 2-1-1. So I remember just great players on the field, from Hagan to Westbrook to Alfred to Dion Figures. Everywhere you looked, there were NFL guys on the field.
Al, does that ring any bells? I'm sure that sounds familiar, right?
You know, my whole time at the University of Colorado, we were just looking for an opportunity to compete. That's what I remember the most. You know, like the competition level was absolutely extreme, and the competition started in practice, and it just boiled over onto the field, and it just felt like that we couldn't be beat when we got to game day because our practices were so, you know, it was so intense, man. We had the offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator, who was Mike Hankowitz and Gary
Hankowitz, right?
and Gary Kubiak going at each other almost every day, man. I mean, it was off the chain. I mean, the competition from the coaches filtered down to the players, And from there, we just took it to the field. It was just Coach Mack knew how to build a great coaching staff. But like he said, you know, you can't win in college football without great players. And I believe that the University of Colorado have great players again.
Nice. Troy, were you anywhere near Philip Lindsay and Andy Janovich today?
I talked with Lindsay. I did not see Janovich.
Because they had a little back and forth. And
right.
I want you to see you guys to listen to how dismissive Andy Janovich from Nebraska is about CU. Oh, hold on.
Put your money on.
Yeah, let me play it again. Here we go.
If you keep talking crap, you wouldn't put your money on.
You see me your rival?
I guess so. I mean, I never got a flam or anything like that, but I know a lot of guys that play at CU think it's a huge rivalry, but I know a lot of guys that play at Nebraska didn't really see it as that, kind of just little brother type thing.
When you hear that, what do you think, Alfred?
Wish I could have played against him. That's all I think.
You know what?
You can take Nebraska's greatest players, greatest players,
yeah,
and we'll beat the crap out of them all day, every day.
How would you fare against 22 Janos?
Right.
Andy 22 Janos.
Didn't experience the rivalry, but Alfred is right that, I'll say this, Andy Janovich, he didn't play a team like CU. CU's team was so good, Lamont Warren left school to get into the supplemental draft because he was going to get beat out for Rashawn Salaam. I would cover those practices as a 19, 20-year-old kid, and I'm telling coaches, I'm like, if the NFL is a lot better than this, like, it's unbelievable. Because it was, I mean, you had Westbrook, Charles Johnson, the receiver, Deion Figures, Alford, Canavis McGee. I mean, every position, I mean, it was just,
but does it sting? I understand that, but does it sting a little bit to hear a Nebraska player look at CU the same way CU looks at CSU?
I know it doesn't sting.
The history of the rivalry, they have the right to that. And Oklahoma, in fairness, is always their rival. So I get it. Like CU, Mack McCartney made it a rivalry.
Right.
He just basically put it in a microwave and said, you're our new rival. The Nebraska people, it's always Oklahoma, and they didn't take it seriously until I was in school, and they started kicking their butt. And they did it in Lincoln that night in the rain, down 12-0 in the fourth quarter. That game will always stand in CU history.
Yeah, we should have beat them by 40 that day.
Oh, you would have won by 50 if you didn't fumble. I mean, who fumbles four times and wins a game on the road? The game
by double digits.
Conference. Yeah, it was. Those CU teams were so good. I mean, it's just hard to, in terms of the talent on the field, it was breathtaking at times. And my favorite Nebraska game, Alfred, I was when Jerry Godowski threw that ball up to try to win it at the end, the Hail Mary in Boulder.
Mm-hmm.
The students stormed the field. That was my freshman year. I mean, that's
wow. You had a great run, Troy. You had the most amazing run. You saw all the good stuff.
I was there. I just happened by accidental tourist. I go to CU because I was going to go to Missouri for journalism. My twin brother and I went to CU. It was more economical for my parents, for both of us at the same time to stay in state, and I came across the greatest run in CU history, and I was the radio guy for 3 years of it and covering it as a beat writer for the Carter Daily. Greatest time of my life. I mean, it was so fun.
That's awesome. Great stories, great memories, great job. Troy, and I just want all the Janos out there, all the people who love Jano, just to remember exactly where he's from. Everybody can love Jano on Sundays, but remember where he is on Saturdays. Thank you, Troy.
That game's on ABC, so watch it tomorrow, Saturday afternoon.
Okay, thanks, Troy. Appreciate it.
I get it.
Mm-hmm.
They do have the bragging rights that we have over Nebraska. I mean, like we have over CSU.
Mm-hmm.
It's just painful.
All right.
It really is, honest to God, painful. You know, I didn't realize it was a rivalry until somebody made me aware, but as soon as I knew that was the target,
mm-hmm.
Zeroed in, mission accomplished.
When we come back, it's here. Are you ready?
Yeah, I need to get a little tea for my voice.
Okay.
Just want to make sure we're good.
The phone number is 303-713-1043. The legendary 5 o'clock Friday Fire Up is next.